Hey everybody, what's going on? Happy Thursday night out there in Facebook land. We're back here live for another show tonight, and I got my good friend, the one and only Little Santa John, is in the house.
actually, it's kind of short now.
It is, and we're going to talk about that in a second, but real quick, I just got to tell everybody, tonight's show and all our shows is brought to you by Bombers and Sleeves. They are the lifestyle apparel brand, and they're dedicated to bringing you the war on self-doubt. This is for the bold, the fearless, and the authentic souls who never back down, and they wear it all on their sleeves. Bomb your boundaries today. Shop Bombers and Sleeves at bombersandsleeves.com. And also, too, you know, they're good friends of mine. They're based out in Nashville, and they're really into the music scene, the rock scene. And for people, you know, Little John, you know, he's involved in the music business, and everybody else that's going to be watching this, you know, with the whole COVID thing, we're losing tons and tons of clubs across the country. And here in Nashville, you know, Music City, one of the clubs that's a legendary club that's on the verge of probably not reopening. They're trying to save it. It's about to go up to sale, and rumors are it's going to become condominiums, the Exit Inn. Yeah. So,
well, it's better than turning it into an old age home like, or over 55 like Birch Hill.
That's as a matter of fact, I have a question about not Birch Hill, but somewhere else. But
the girl I was dating at the time was 10 years younger than me, and she was just hanging on to me so that she could move back to where Birch Hill was when I turned 55.
That
relationship lasted a really long time.
So, Bombers and Sleeves, check them out, bombersandsleeves.com. They have the 6-1 Vibe collection, which they're donating 80% of the proceeds to help save the Exit Inn club. So buy from the 615 collection, buy from Bombers and Sleeves, and bomb your boundaries because they're the bomb. Trust me. So, all right. So Little John, he's here. He's flying solo tonight. So we're gonna have a nice one-on-one conversation about.
Oh, this ought to be fun.
About Rat Rod and the things, the happening, and everything else. But, you know, it's funny. You mentioned something. You mentioned about Birch Hill, and one of the things I was wondering, not Birch Hill, but actually, Whiskey Tango, like what's going on with that place? Did it ever reopen? Is it still there?
It did for a while. They were doing shows. They had a new guy come in and book it. They were doing covers and originals, and then
really? It
shut down. I don't know what's again, Philly's totally shut down. There's Sweeney's had a few gigs, but they were all outside. I think they have a few indoors now, but most of the stuff in Philly's down. The only thing we've done since March of last year, we've done 3 or 4 shows. We did one in Jersey outside. We did one was a biker rally in Green Lane for Strip Club Choppers, I think it was. And then we did a couple of shows at Bar 13.
Yeah, it sounds like from what I'm seeing, like Bar 13 is really kind of like the only spot that's open up there.
Dude, it's awesome. They do a really good deal with the whole keeping everybody apart. The band is in a fishbowl. They put plexiglass floor to ceiling in front of the stage.
Really?
It was the weirdest thing I ever did. The chicken wire back in the cover band days, that was a little strange, but like a fishbowl, like they just put, like you couldn't see past the glass because the lights were hitting it. So all I could see was myself. And I was just like, I felt bad for everybody who had to watch me all these years.
Oh man. That's funny. I didn't realize that they had. I mean, I've seen some shots and all, and you know the video you guys did for the new live album from there.
Well, it wasn't there for that.
Okay.
When we recorded the live album, it was at Bar 13. It was back in October. We'll talk about that later. But they didn't have it. We were supposed to play in December. And things got really bad up here. Everything was starting to kick up. And right around, we were supposed to play the 19th, I think. And we talked with our now manager, Bill Massey. who had his other band on the gig, and Whiskey Grin, and Delaware was shutting down. They were lowering their capacities, and we're like, it's not really worth it. So that got pushed back to January, and when we went back in January, there's a fishbowl, like big plexi. I felt like, you know, the bad drummer that has to play behind the glass.
Right, so right.
I was like, go. So it was interesting. Definitely.
Hey,
definitely.
Do they have chairs on the floor now? It seems though.
They got it, it's like a big. I kind of say it's like a bingo hall. They okay. got the card tables, I guess, with chairs, and you could only four space, and then a couple of the tables in the back. But yeah,
huh?
Yeah, it was interesting. They're doing, you know, like Delaware's doing it right. So
yeah, Delaware usually does do things right, believe it or not, which is scary.
I know. For anybody outside the area, they might understand that.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that, now the crazy thing is, so the last time we did one of these interviews, and we talked on one of these interviews, you guys talked about the member change, how Elliot had left the band and new drummer Harry was in. Well, now this time
we went a little back step.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of a member change, but it's a back to the beginning.
Well, there's a little nepotism going on there, just a little. But no, it's awesome. Bryce is back, Harry's back. It's like a new vibe coming. It's actually really, I'm actually having fun. Like, not only did we do the new album, but we also the live album. We also took the COVID time once we realized, you know, Matt wanted to change, and he moved on, and we were sitting there going, what are we going to do? And Bryce was like, I think I want to play again. So we have, I mean, Mike and Mark are the heart and soul of Rat Rod. They're the song machine. Like every time they come down, there's another, you know, check out the drive. There's a new, you know, something new up there. I think they got like 18 things kind of worked out. We got a bunch of them down. We've been throwing in and out of the couple of shows we've been playing. We're basically working on Rat Rod 3.
Right.
So, but this time it's actually, it's different. As you know, the first CD was Mark and Mike. Did yeah. everything. Mark plays every instrument known to man. I call him Mutt Lang. he's a slave driving bastard when it comes to, you know, recording. Well, they did the first CD themselves. Mike came to me and said, you know, we're putting a band together. I mean, you know the whole story. Mm-hmm. We were sitting at Whiskey Tango, as a matter of fact, and you're like, you're playing the thing. Don't you ever want to play originals? I'm like, never. I don't ever want to play originals.
I can still picture us having that conversation. It's so funny.
Yeah, never. And what was it, like 3 weeks later at the Rough House show? I'm like, dude.
I remember, I'm like, you just told me, like, no more originals.
I'm like,
you're not going back. And I'm like, what?
but what did I say? Dirty looks, dude. And then I sent you the stuff, and you know. So the second album, again, Mark and Mike doing everything. We kind of procrastinated on that one, went in the studio, recorded everything off the spur of the moment. Then we kind of went back and fixed stuff, and it progressed. Well, this one, we have five guys that all have opinions, that all have a little bit of creativity, that, you know, kind of know their part, but also, like, Bryce is coming down with riffs, and Harry's, hey, why don't we try this, where, and this is not a knock on anybody, but Harry's been in 100 bands, and Harry's got a personality. Elliot was Big Ben. Like, you can count on him. Right on, never made a mistake. You know, Harry comes down, and he's like, why don't we try this? And it's like, wow, that works. And it's mm-hmm. actually fun to everybody, because you know, Mark and Mike, the AC/DC, the Australian, the Angels, that's their thing. You know, Bryce kind of the same with Mark, but he's a little got more progressive side to him, but he's decent, great, great rhythm guitar player. Harry played power stuff and progressive stuff. And me, I grew up on the Dolls and, you know, stuff like that, Hanoi Rock. So I bring in the glam punk stuff. And it's blending where, like Mike likes to say, Chuck Berry on steroids. So we kind of went a step back, but a step forward.
You know, when I was going through stuff, I saw, did you guys actually end up playing some shows as just a four-piece or something?
No.
No?
We did one, well, they did one show, the infamous Bag Over My Head, where I double booked. And Matt wound up playing bass. But no, we Bryce jumped, Matt did the last show with the Choppers, and Bryce stepped in, and he pretty much knew everything anyway, because he was working with his pops anyway. So he stepped right in, and within 2 or 3 weeks, we were up and running.
Wow. That's cool. Yeah, I mean, it's funny the way things worked out. I mean, you have a nice, smooth transition with all that.
Yeah. But, well, it was actually cool because, again, we were like, I'm like, I don't want to look. And when he left to go join the fire department over in Jersey.
Right.
And he went through all his training and did everything. And now he's back to, you know, being normal hours. And so he's like, I want to play. We're like, hey, come on. So he went out and bought a hollow body and he fits right in.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, did you guys, was it instantly like you thought of Bryce, or were you guys like, oh man, we got to go through an audition process? Or
no, actually he came to us. He was like, he's like, you know, if you guys need somebody, he's like, I might be interested in doing it. And we're like, might be. He's like, well, yeah, I am. So we're like, okay, you know, like, come down, let's see what happens. And he plays just like his pops. So, sure. You know, it's like having two Marks in the band. You know, Mark spent all them years doing AC/DC tributes that everything he thinks is rhythm. Bryce, everything he thinks is rhythm. So, you know, it's just, it's all new again, you know?
That's awesome. Now, one thing I saw too, which you're actually wearing one thing, but you guys are starting to do some more merch, kind of taking a page out of the Gene Simmons book. You even have coffee mugs in it.
I don't have it because I'm up in the room and I can't. If you get them hot, they change colors. Yeah, we got Rat Rot Rocks, Big Cartel. You go on to our website. It's all drop ship. So, you know, you order it, they print it up. Hoodies, new T-shirts, hats, you can get the CD, you know, all that, like all that stuff. And, you know, check it out. You know, we got pink hat for the girls, some long sleeve baseball shirts. So yeah, we, our motto from the beginning was, if Kiss can do it, we can. So,
you can't go wrong, right? You know what I mean? Like, as long as you're not making a coffin, I think you're on the right page.
That might be in the works. You never know with Mark. Mark is the merch genius. I feel like some of the people on TikTok and stuff, merchant and link in the bio.
There you go. You got to hashtag that, link in the bio.
Link in the bio.
Link in the bio. it's funny because – And I hope people realize this. They should realize this, and they need to realize this. You know, when the three, four of us, me, you, Mark, and Mike sat down, you know, it was what, almost 2 years ago now, to talk about me becoming your manager at the time. You know, I realized then at that night at dinner, how truly smart Mark is, and he has such a mind not just for the music, but for everything. And I could see it, like, when we were talking, like, so I just kept looking in his eyes, and I could see it in his eyes. Like, the wheels are turning, and he's always thinking, and it's, and he's not afraid to ask questions, or, you know what I mean? It was,
dude, we have a joke.
That's a good thing that we, that, you know.
We have a joke. We always tell each other to get out of each other's heads, because, you know, everybody has their role, and that's Mark's role. Like, he hits me up. He's like, here, dude, go here and buy one of these. I want to see what it looks like. Here, buy one of these. You know, try this hoodie out. We don't like the hoodie. Go buy another one. Like, dude. But, yeah, like, he – that production, the fact we got our friend Deb Argento as, I mean, our – photo person and photographer. It's you know, we decided if we were going to do this, we're going to do it right.
Yeah.
You know, and like that's how the live album came up again. Live album.
I love it.
Got the funny inside. The little woo. But Mark decided he was. It's kind of funny. Mike always said, you know, a bunch of times that he wanted to re-record the first album. And this was a way of doing songs from the first album the way we do them now, because if you listen to the first album, then you put everybody else's personality in, the songs have changed. So we got to do four songs from the first album the way we've done them since we started playing out. And Mark shows up one day and says, hey, I bought a mobile recording unit. I'm like, great. Cool. What does that mean? He's like, we're going to start recording. He's like, we're going to put a live album out. I'm like, who's stupid enough to do that? He's like, we are. I'm like, all right. So
I got to say, you know, honest to God, when you called and told me that, I was like, who does that? Like, what local band, unsigned band does that? And I was just like, I don't know. Like, I'm not liking this idea. I'm not feeling the idea until Mark sent me the advance of it. And I was like, oh shit. This is real. Like, I get it now. It sounds amazing.
Thank you.
And it truly does. Like, it's not unsigned local band quality. It's top notch freaking quality.
We had great help. We had great help that night from John, from Bar 13. We called him up a week or two before the show. We said what we wanted to do. He's like, bring a SIM card or SD card. We'll hook it all up. And we got the waves back. We went back. We had to fix a few things in the actual show. Harry hit a cymbal and it flipped over and cut Mark's cord in half, both his cords. So during Mirror, Mark was totally dead. So we went back in and kind of polished that up a little bit. But other than that, you know, it's pretty much how it was that night. And I'm proud of it. I know Mark, Mike, and Harry and Bryce are proud of it. So, you know, I think it turned out halfway decent.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'm super proud of it too. Like, I'm super stoked for you guys. It's actually exciting to listen to. It makes me wish I was there to see you guys, because I miss you guys.
But, well, you did get an invite.
I do. I do have an invite. I know.
You're more than welcome. March 13th, Studio E, in Delaware. You got the invite from Will Massey.
I just need a helicopter to bring me over there.
Yeah, okay. We'll get you a limo. Just drive up with the limo.
Oh, there you go.
We'll send the limo for you. We'll go real big, like, kiss. But again,
you gotta sell some more mugs.
That was, yeah, here, five more CDs so we could CD or get Bay there. But yeah, that was a page out of our Let's Rip Off Kiss.
but the thing, I mean, the funny thing is, speaking of Kiss, like, I even said to myself, like, you know, it sounds good, and you don't have, like, a live two, the pumped in crowd noise and all that. You know what I mean? It's really freaking. Sounds good.
It was a good night. And that's all I got to say. It was a good night. We lucked. I think we had a little help from COVID, and everybody was kind of antsy, and they're like, there's a show? Woohoo!
So that was something I was wondering too, like, and you already answered it, but going into the show, you guys knew you were going to record. It wasn't just like, you know, let's record it and see what happens.
No, we had it all planned. Had it all planned.
Wow.
So if you listen really good, you can hear Jim Rice in the background playing his day.
Oh, man. Now, you guys have a new song on there, Hella Ride, which is the first single.
Actually, there's two on there, but yeah, Hella Ride and Cars, Guitars, and Rock and Roll.
Yes. Now, there is a video for Hella Ride. Did you guys video the whole show as well, or just...
No, that again is Deb. Deb knows what she needs to do, when she could do it, and then we kind of just go off of there. That was all Deb. Deb and Mark.
That's cool. Yeah. It works out, man. It came off so good, and that just puts more to it, the video and stuff.
We're trying. Like I said, we had a lot of time to mess with ideas, and, you know, like you know, we did, because we talked to you, when we released the last album, we put one song a month mm-hmm. out, and we didn't put anything on streaming, just the one song.
Right.
But, we're always just trying to, like, brainstorm different ideas and just to get people, like, to notice. So we did a video every month. So every month you're getting a hit. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a little different because it's all live. So we're not going to get a video for everyone. But, you know, and we decided to put this all out. But there might be something with the next album happening, you know. But
now, did you guys, correct me if I'm wrong, did you guys kind of did the opposite this time where you guys released the physical copy like a month before the streaming came out?
No. What we did with this is a month before we released Hella Ride and the video, we teased mm-hmm. it. We did a little puzzle thing and just had some fun with it. But we released Hella Ride, and then if you bought Hella Ride, you got the album. So, you know, you got the album as soon as it was as ready. So,
wow.
Yeah. But we lucked out. We actually got physical copies right before the show, the last show we did. So we were able to get some of them out in people's hands. And, you know, we did a little, Mark ran some kind of promo on the site.
That's awesome. Now, how about, just that you kind of touched on it already a little. How this, you know, the time that we're going through right now with the music business and entertainment and COVID, and there's not many shows and places are shutting down. I think that as well was great timing for you guys to do this. But do you feel also too, is there a buzz out there where you feel like people are chomping at the bit to get back into the clubs and back at shows?
Oh, totally. Totally. Like I said, we did two shows at Bar 13 that were as packed as they could be, right. As they were legally allowed. Again, still the problem is us and Whiskey Grin both switch headliners both times. Of course, up here, the middle is headliner because everybody still leaves at 12 o'clock, no matter what's going on. You know how that is. Right. So, but I think there's people are going nuts. Like the next two shows we're doing are all pre-sold shows. And like I said, the one at Studio E for Will Massey basically sold out in 15 minutes.
Wow.
I mean, you know, so, and then we're doing, I think it's May 15th, and I'm sorry, I don't know exact, at Bjorn AC in Atlantic City. It's one of CT's shows, Rock and Roll Union. It's his jam at the Shore 2. I think that did the same thing, like 15 or 20 minutes. Right. So, you know, it's... people are looking to get back out. I mean, We're all trying to get our shots and, you know, hopefully get everybody where we don't have to worry.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Now going back to the live album, when Mark first approached you about
that
first to God, did you realize, that's what I was wondering, like, did you think he was crazy?
What would you guys take? Crazy. I mean, that's why we get along so well, because he thinks just like me. I never thought it would happen, because he's always said he wanted to do a live album, always wanted to do a live album. And I just thought, yeah, all right, whatever. And then he buys this mobile unit. And like I said, we did this this show for Strip Club Choppers in Green Lane. And he brings it and he starts playing with it. And he's like, okay, this might work. At the time, Matt was kind of on his way out and we hadn't figured out what we're going to do. And we were just messing with it. And the idea, we're like, all right, we're going to do this. I was like, really? He's like, yeah, let's see what happens. The worst could happen is we can't use the tracks.
Sure.
And it turned out pretty okay.
Now, did you guys tell anybody you were doing it, or you just...
That night, that's about it. Like, we let everybody know we were recording. But no, we just went about... The only person that I think knew besides us was, you know, our close friends that were in on the joke and the sound man.
Joke. Oh, man, that's awesome.
Yeah. No, we hadn't played since July. We had now Harry and Bryce. So we were there, and our boy Will drove up by himself from Maryland to see the show. Wow. So that was an extra boost. And then you had guys like Joe Smith was there and Brian Wolf and them dudes. And we hadn't seen anybody in ages. So it was just, not only was it an explosion of like just people, it was just, we had a great night. Like, people in the crowd was a great night. We had fun. We were playing with our buddies again. Mm-hmm. So it was a perfect storm.
That's awesome. Now, how about, like, you said now the guys have, 18 songs in the works. When do you think you guys are going to hit the studio soon or later in the year? Or?
Well, we had a date in December, and then we kept booking shows, and it kind of get pushed back. We're kind of doing it a little different this time. Last time, we had the general scratch tracks. Everybody kind of knew the scratch tracks. And we just went in one day, recorded all the basic tracks. Then everybody went back and fixed everything. Mike went back and redid his vocals. We're actually taking the time, like, our rehearsals now are just working out songs. Like, we want to go in with totally finished songs and just lay them down once. Maybe go back and fix, you know, a bum note here or there. But we just want to go in, like, you know it, you've played forever. You write a song, by the time you play it with, you know, your drummer, you're in a studio or live, they get new life. So we want that new life on the record. We haven't caught that yet. We're going to try to catch that this time. We caught live. Now we want to catch live in the studio.
So, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but so the first album, Bryce was in the band technically, but he didn't play on the first. It was just Mark.
Nobody was in. It was just. It started out. Mark had just left his project. Mike had just left his project. A mutual friend said, "You guys ought to get together. You know, you might." And what they wanted to do is just get together, do an album, and that was it. They weren't thinking about putting a band together. They weren't thinking about anything. They were just thinking about, they had some songs, they got along, they had the same style, and they were just going to put something together and put it out, and that was going to be it. As it got in the works, they realized, hey, we got something here, let's see what we could do. And then I was playing in the Pat Benatar band, the Crimes of Passion, and we did our first show with them, at halftime. When, yeah, or you know, Hot Shots. We did a benefit at Hot Shots. Coincidentally, was for a benefit for the college. Well, the university my ex in Louisiana went to. It was kind of surreal. You know the whole Louisiana thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But so we were doing that, and Mike comes up, and he's like, "Dude, I want you." And I'm like, "Okay." He's like, "No, I want you to play bass." I'm like, "Dude, I'm never playing originals again." I'm like, "No." And then we had another guitar player come down the first night, and Bryce was actually playing drums when we decided to get together. Bryce was going to play drums. And the other guitar player didn't work out at all, didn't have the same vibe. One of them guys has a ton of equipment, but doesn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
You know the type. But we kept going. And then I show up one day and Mike's like, "We got a drummer coming down. He's 17. I'm like, "What?" It's like one of Bryce's friends. He's 17. I'm like, "Dude, I'm 50. So in steps Elliot. Bryce goes over to guitar and boom, we have Rat Rod.
There you go.
3 months later, 4 months later, the CD comes out and we're opening the show at Sweeney's. And then it was a cover band schedule from that point on. That first year was rough.
It really was.
It was between the two bands. I was playing every weekend, at least once a weekend, if not twice. There was even a weekend I played four shows in a week.
Holy crap.
Yeah, it was nuts.
So something else I saw you guys have going on now is you have a Patreon.
Yeah. We'll leave that at that. We have it. You know how it is. We have everything, but it depends what, you know, Facebook works, Instagram works. Patreon, it's an interesting concept. We might use it more for our we had planned on using it more for when we record, like videotape behind the scenes stuff. Mm-hmm. And anybody who signs up gets to see the making of Rat Rod 3. That's the tentative. But, you know. So, yeah. Again, we tried it, just like we tried TikTok, and we can't figure out how to use it yet, but we will. We will.
TikTok's a piece of work.
Isn't it? It's funny because everybody, I just keep sending everybody like videos, and they're like, "Dude, is that all you do?" I'm like, "Well, between the 5 minutes of like playing Call of Duty or going over songs, yeah, that's all I do. I don't leave the house anymore."
Too funny. Now, all right. So, where should we send them, buddy? Where's the best place to get the album? RatRodRocks.com.
RatRodRocks.com. You can get to us through Facebook. RatRodRocks. We're on Instagram. Same. For all that stuff. But if you're buying stuff, you want the CD. It's RatRodRocks. Big Cartel. You get there's all new shirts, new hats. We even got pink for the girls. I might wind up with a pink one, who knows. Not like I've never wore pink before.
Hey, right. Now, will there be a special razor, Rat Rod razor, to shave that freaking beard off your face?
I already did. Didn't you see the video?
I know, I saw it, but it's back.
I know, it may come off.
I was like so happy. It was off. I was gonna say thank you. You shaved, and then I pop on here. I'm like, it's back.
I got one guy on Facebook that every time they put a picture up and I got the bandana on, he's like, show the beard. And Mark's like, "You're not doing us any favors." And then I got you who wants me to shave, but you know, we'll see.
Little Santa John.
I figured gnome.
No. Well, John, thank you for doing this tonight. Everybody can check that out. Love it. And that's no bullshit. I truly do. You guys shocked the shit out of me, impressed the shit out of me. And, yeah.
Well,
two thumbs up for me.
Again, I give credit to Mike, Mark's a genius. You know, he's an evil genius. Like I always bust on him saying he's a slave driving bastard, Mutt Lang. But he gets it right. He knows what he's doing. And 99% of it is Mark and Mike, you know, they're the driving force. Love them guys. So yep. Most of the credit goes to them. They're the ones that make us sound the best. I'm just a big hat and a funny guitar. And now a big white beard that everybody talks about.
And yeah, as a matter of fact, Damien commented, he said, you shaved last week.
Well, see, I'm not seeing any of that stuff.
Too funny. Cool. So, yeah, ratronrocks.com, everybody. Check it out. Go get the album and get the coffee mugs and the shirts and the hats and get it all. And maybe that will pay for a limo for me tomorrow.
Yeah, come on, dude. You got it. Hey, we also, one last thing. We've been working with our new manager, Will, who is starting a new label right now called Rock. And he's going to hate me because I'm totally forgetting it. Shit. What the hell? Sorry, Will. Rock Metal Records.
I was going to say Rock Your Metal or something. I've been seeing it, yeah.
Yeah, he, my man, dude, he's like you. He's dead on driven, promotion, this, that. We're trying to work out a thing where it's one big community, not like the old Empire where you would turn around when your friends were on. It's more like let's get everybody together. We've got bands right now in Virginia, down by you in Nashville. We got some friends up in New York, and we're just trying to get something where we can all go visit each other and we can all go play.
You guys need to get down here, and Damien and those guys need to get down here. I got a spot I could probably do shows at, you know. So
is this going to be, dude, are we going to do the Bay belated 50th birthday anniversary show that we were talking about?
Yeah, you know, by that point I'll be 50, you know, God knows what, 50 something.
Yeah, you know, we'll get the Gerber babies together.
That won't happen.
I'll play bass, dude. I'll play bass.
That, you know, it's funny because when you said that before, before I moved, I threw that out. As a matter of fact, when I threw it out there to my buddy Anthony, I was sitting in the parking lot of, I forget the name of the club, where Faster Pussycat played with Bang Tango that night.
That's the night we played.
Yeah.
McStew's.
Yeah, okay. So it was in the parking lot. And I was talking to Anthony, and I said to him, I'm like, dude, why don't we just do one last Dead Gerber Baby show, kick it off. I got my boy Little John said he'll play bass, and his answer was, no. That's all we said. No. I was like, all right.
We tried.
Exactly. I tried.
The offer's always there. I'll pull out the old 1980 Warlock bass. It'll be fun.
That's funny. And, dude, I don't even have it. You know, I don't. The guitars I had here with me here, I sold. So I don't even have any, you know, I do have.
You're in Nashville. You go to the pawn shop.
Yeah, that's true. I had some guitars back in PA. I don't know if I still have them, though.
No comment.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, we've been working with Will and just his other band, 86 Bullets. And it's just, we're just trying to do this thing where we get bands from all over in one big, you know, he's
special network.
Yeah, he's had a little group forever based off of M3 called Ignite the Scene, and they just changed it to Unite the Scene to try and, you know, we're just trying to just move everything forward. Everybody have one vision, everybody work together, as opposed to being at the Empire where you turn on your back to your bands that you don't know and you're like, all right. So but all right. We'll be down there soon. We were almost there this year, but this whole COVID thing.
I hear you. You know? I hear you. The time to come down would totally be in August for the big Rock and Pod convention. He's doing it this year. He just announced the other day Billy Sheehan's going to be there, Ron Keel's going to be there, a bunch of others. And he's doing like a whole weekend. And I was see, this is where in my mind I already have my wheels turning too. Like he's doing Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm thinking, you guys get your ass down here. Damien was already saying him and Burke want to come down. Like they put their version of Monte Carlo together, get down here. And, you know, you have your band down here or whoever else do a show on Thursday night to kick it off. Come on.
Let's kind of like the M3 kickoff.
Yeah, my wheels are already turning.
Well, you know where to reach us.
Yes, I do.
All right, brother.
All right, man. Great talking to you.
All right, love you, man.
Love you, Brian.
All right, see ya.
Big.